We're now listening to Dr. Martin Luther King, who is speaking in Montgomery, Alabama, on this date in March of 1965. He speaks from the steps of the capital of the state of Montgomery. Let's listen to Dr. Martin Luther King.
The century's old blight. President Johnson rightly praised the courage of the Negro for awakening the conscience of the nation.
Yes, sir.
On our part, we must pay our profound respect to the white Americans who cherish their democratic traditions over the earthly customs and privileges of generations come forth boldly to join hands with us. From Montgomery to Birmingham, from Birmingham to Selma, from Selma back to Montgomery, the trail wound in a circle long and often bloody, yet it has become a highway up from darkness. Alabama has tried to nurture and defend evil, but evil is stroking to death in the dusty roads and streets of this state. So I stand before you this afternoon with the conviction that segregation is on its deathbed in Alabama, and the only thing uncertain about it is how costly the segregationists and Wallace will make the funeral. Our whole campaign in Alabama has been centered around the right to vote. In focusing the attention of the nation and the world today on the flagrant denial of the right to vote, we are exposing the very origin, the root cause of racial segregation in the Southland. Racial segregation as a way of life did not come about as a natural result of hatred between the races immediately after the Civil War. There were no laws segregating the races then. As the noted historian C. Van Wittert, in his book, The Strange Career of Jim Crow, clearly points out, the segregation of the races was really a political stratagem employed by the emerging urban interests in the South to keep the Southern masses divided and Southern labor the cheapest in the land. You see, it was a simple thing to keep the poor white masses working for near starvation wages in the years that followed the Civil War. Why, if the poor white plantation mill worker became dissatisfied with his low wages, the plantation or mill owner would merely threaten to fire him and hire a farmer Negro slave and pay him even less. Thus, the Southern wage level was kept almost unbearably low. Toward the end of the Reconstruction era, something very significant happened. There developed what was known as the populist movement. The leaders of this movement began awakening the poor white masses,
yes, sir,
the former Negro slaves, to the fact that they were being fleeced by the emerging urban interests. Not only that, but they began uniting the Negro and white masses,
yeah,
into a voting bloc that threatened to drive the urban interests from the command post of political power in the South. To meet this threat, the Southern aristocracy began immediately to engineer the development of a segregated society. I want you to follow me through here because this is very important to see the roots of racism and the denial of the right to vote. Through their control of mass media, they revived the doctrine of white supremacy. They saturated the thinking of the poor white masses with it, thus clouding their minds to the real issue involved in the populist movement. They then directed the placement on the books of the South of laws that made it a crime for Negroes and whites to come together as equals at any level. That did it. That crippled and eventually destroyed the populist movement of the 19th century. If it may be said of the slavery era that the white man took the world and gave the Negro Jesus, then it may be said of the Reconstruction era that the Southern aristocracy took the world and gave the poor white man Jim Crow. He gave him Jim Crow. When his wrinkled stomach cried out for the food that his empty pockets could not provide, he ate Jim Crow, a psychological bird that told him that no matter how bad off he was, at least he was a white man better than the black man. And he ate Jim Crow. And when his undernourished children cried out for the necessities that his low wages could not provide, he showed them the Jim Crow signs on the buses and in the stores, on the streets and in the public buildings.
Yes, sir.
And his children, too, learned to feed upon Jim Crow, their last outpost to psychological oblivion.
Yes, sir.
Thus, the threat of the free exercise of the ballot by the Negro and white masses alike resulted in the establishment of a segregated society. They segregated Southern money from the poor whites. They segregated Southern mores from the rich whites.
Yes, sir.
They segregated Southern churches from Christianity.
Yes, sir.
They segregated Southern minds from honest thinking.
Yes, sir.
And they segregated the Negro from everything.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened.
Isn't that beautiful?
The Negro and white masses of the South threatened to unite, build a great society, a society of justice where none would prey upon the weakness of others, a society of plenty where greed and poverty would be done away, a society of brotherhood where every man would respect the dignity and worth of human personality.
Yes, sir.
We've come a long way since that travesty of justice was perpetrated upon the American mind. James Weldon Johnson put it eloquently. He said, "We have come over the way that with tears has been watered.
Yes, sir.
We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered.
Yes, sir.
Out of the gloomy past.
Yes, sir.
Till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast.
Yes, sir.
Today I want to tell the city of Selma.
Tell them nothing.
Today I want to say to the state of Alabama.
Yes, sir.
Today I want to say to the people of America and the nations of the world that we are not about to turn around.
Yes, sir.
We are on the move now.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we are on the move and no wave of racism can stop us.
Yes, sir.
We are on the move now.
Yes, sir.
The burning of our churches will not deter us.
Yes, sir.
We are on the move now.
Yes, sir.
The bombing of our homes will not dissuade us.
Yes,
we are on the move now.
Yes,
the beating and killing of our clergymen and young people will not divert us. We are on the move now.
Yes, sir.
The rant and release of their known murderers will not discourage us. We are on the move now.
Yes, sir.
Like an idea whose time has come.
Yes, sir.
Not even the marching of mighty armies can halt us.
Yes, sir.
We are moving to the land of freedom.
Yes, sir.
Let us therefore continue our triumphant march to the realization of the American dream.
Yes, sir.
Let us march on segregated housing.
Yes, sir.
Until every ghetto of social and economic depression.
Yes, sir.
Dissolve the Negroes and whites live side by side in decent, safe, and sanitary housing.
Yes, sir.
Let us march on segregated schools.
Let us march.
Until every vestige of segregated and inferior education becomes a thing of the past, and Negroes and whites study side by side in the socially healing context of the classroom. Let us march on poverty.
Let us march.
Until no American parent has to skip a meal so that their children may eat.
Yes, sir.
March on poverty.
Yes,
on ballot boxes to the Sadian misdeeds of bloodthirsty mob.
Yes, sir.
Would be transformed into the calculated good deeds of orderly citizens. Let us march on ballot boxes.
Let us march.
Until the Wallaces of our nation tremble away in silence, let us march on ballot boxes.
Let us march.
Until we send to our city council,
yes, sir,
state legislatures,
yes,
and the United States Congress,
yes,
men who will not fear to do justly,
yes,
love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Let us march on ballot boxes. Let us march. Until brotherhood becomes more than a meaningless word in an opening prayer, but the order of the day on every legislative agenda.
Yes.
Let us march on ballot boxes.
Yes.
Until all over Alabama, God's children will be able to walk the earth in decency and honor. There is nothing wrong with marching in this sense.
Yes, sir.
The Bible tells us that the mighty men of Joshua,
yes, sir,
merely walked about the walled city of Jericho.
Well,
the barriers to freedom came tumbling down.
Yes, sir.
I like that old Negro spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho.
Yes, sir.
In its simple yet colorful depiction,
yes, sir,
that red moment in biblical history,
yes, sir,
it tells us that Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho.
Yes, sir.
Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. The walls come tumbling down.
That's
up to the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
They march with spear in hand.
Yes, sir.
Go blow them ram horns, Joshua cried.
Yeah.
Cause the battle am in my hand.
Yes, sir.
These words I have given you just as they were given us by the unknown, long dead, dark-skinned originator.
Yes, sir.
Some now long gone black barb bequeathed to posterity these words in ungrammatical form,
yes, sir,
yet with emphatic pertinence,
yes, sir,
for all of us today.
Uh-huh.
The battle is in our hands. We can answer with creative nonviolence the call to higher ground to which the new directions of our struggle summons us.
Yes, sir.
The road ahead is not altogether a smooth one. There are no broad highways that lead us easily and inevitably to quick solutions. But we must keep going. In the glow of the lamplight on my desk a few nights ago, I gazed again upon the wondrous sign of our time, full of hope and promise of the future.
Uh-huh.
And I smiled to see in the newspaper photographs of nearly a decade ago, the faces so bright, so solemn of our valiant hero, the people of Montgomery. To this list may be added the names of all those,
yes,
who have fought and yes, died in the nonviolent army of our day.
Mm-hmm.
Medgar Evers,
uh-huh,
three civil rights workers in Mississippi last summer.
Uh-huh.
William Moore, as has already been mentioned. The Reverend James Reed,
yes, sir,
Jimmy Lee Jackson,
yes, sir,
the four little girls, the Church of God in Birmingham on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir. Yes.
In spite of this, we must go on and be sure that they did not die in vain.
Yes, sir.
The pattern of their feet, as they walked through Jim Crow barriers,
mm-hmm,
in the great stride toward freedom,
mm-hmm,
is the thunder of the marching men of Joshua. World rocks beneath that tread.
Yes, sir.
My people, listen.
Yes, sir.
The battle is in our hands.
Yes, sir.
The battle is in our hands in Mississippi and Alabama and all over the United States.
Yes, sir.
I know that is a cry today in Alabama.
Uh-huh.
We see it in numerous editorials. When will Martin Luther King, SCLC, SNCC, and all of these civil rights agitators and all of the white clergymen and labor leaders and students and others get out of our community and let Alabama return to normalcy? I have a message that I would like to leave with Alabama this evening. That is exactly what we don't want, and we will not allow it to happen.
Yes, sir.
But we know that it will in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. It is normalcy all over Alabama that prevents a Negro from becoming a registered voter. No, we will not allow Alabama to return to normalcy. The normalcy that we will settle for is a normalcy that recognizes the dignity and worth of all of God's children. The only normalcy that we will settle for is a normalcy that allows judgment to run down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. The only normalcy that we will settle for is the normalcy of brotherhood, the normalcy of true peace, the normalcy of justice. So as we go away this afternoon, let us go away more than ever before. Committed to this struggle, committed to nonviolence. I must admit to you, there are still some difficult days ahead. We are still in for the season of suffering. Many of the Black Belt counties of Alabama, many areas of Mississippi, many areas of Louisiana. I must admit to you, there are still jail cells waiting for us, dark and difficult moments. We will go on with the faith that nonviolence and its power transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. We will be able to change all of these conditions. So I plead with you this afternoon as we go ahead, remain committed to nonviolence. Our aim must never be to defeat or humiliate the white man, but to win his friendship and understanding. We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace with itself, a society that can live with its conscience. That will be a day not of the white man, not of the black man. That will be the day of man as man. I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? Darken their understanding and drive bright-eyed wisdom from a sacred throne. Somebody's asking, when will wounded justice lying prostrate on the streets of Selma and Birmingham and communities all over the South be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men? Somebody's asking, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night? Plucked from weary souls the chains of fear and the manacles of death. How long will justice be crucified and truth buried?
Yes, sir.
I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth pressed to earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Oh,
because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes,
how long?
How
not long.
Long.
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes,
yet that scaffold sways the future.
Yes,
behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes,
how long?
Not
long. Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes,
he's trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes,
he's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes,
his truth is marching on.
Yes,
he has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Yes,
he is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yes,
oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Dr. Martin Luther King's address to the March on Montgomery. This is Edward Aspen Wall with Murphy Martin reporting from the Alabama State Capitol.
This special report came to you from Montgomery, Alabama. Stay tuned for further details. Also, later this afternoon, ABC will bring you the news conference of astronauts Grissom and Young. That's at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We return you now to our regularly scheduled program.
Now, what are they going to do with a cake layer and a paper straw?
It's that new cake frosting commercial. See, it's so smooth, you can spread it with a flimsy paper straw. It's ready to spread.
Let's go out there again,
Ellen. You use it right from a can. Duncan Hines now has a cake frosting.
Well, I got some interest there. I forgot what I was doing.
Smooth it, spread it.